It's Thursday, October 24, 2024.
Some in the tri-state area are calling this month Drytober. Cities like New York and Philadelphia could see their first October on record with zero rainfall.
Record heat and drought fuel wildfires in the Northeast. U.S. Senate majority and the future of climate action hang in the balance of this year's election. Plus,
we are deploying clean energy.
Biden administration racing the clock to allocate climate and infrastructure funding.
All that clock racing and more straight ahead from BrandBlog.com. I'm Brand Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
They want to do things like no windows in buildings. They have some wonderful plans for this country.
Oh, no, you're confused, sir. They were talking about your jail cell. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen. So they are still fighting the flooding from Hurricane Milton down in Florida?
It's crazy, but yes, parts of Central Florida are still grappling with persistent flooding from devastating Hurricane Milton 2 weeks after landfall.
Really?
It's another reminder that hurricane impacts remain a threat long after the storm. The state health department confirms that after Hurricanes Helene and Milton, several counties in Florida are now seeing a surge in infections of Vibrio fulminatus.
Yikes.
A flesh-eating bacteria that thrives in warm coastal waters and flood waters.
Double yikes.
An unusually hot October across the U.S. now. 85% of the lower 48 is seeing above-average temperatures. In the Northeast, there's been virtually no rainfall in some states in October, and drought and record-high temperatures are fueling an outbreak of wildfires.
In the Northeast.
Yes, numerous studies show that man-made climate change is increasing the frequency, size, and intensity of wildfires everywhere. New Jersey Fire Service Chief Greg McLaughlin on NBC News confirms that fire season there has changed.
Fire seasons are not seasonal anymore, and they've actually become year-round.
So it's interesting that that's the case in both the Northeast and out here in the West. Fire season all year round.
Yes, that's the world of climate change. In politics, in the critical November election, control of the U.S. Senate and the future of U.S. climate and industrial policy hang in the balance.
Oh, that's all?
In a recent debate in Michigan's U.S. Senate race, former Republican Representative Mike Rogers said he would repeal President Biden's landmark climate law, the Inflation Reduction Act, and block federal incentives that help Michigan automakers transition to electric vehicles, and he called for repealing tailpipe pollution and emissions standards. Democratic Senate candidate Representative Alyssa Slotkin said those incentives are critical to maintaining U.S. global competitiveness.
If the fundamental question is who do we want to make that next generation of vehicles, you better believe I want that to be Michigan and not China. Right now, everyone knows China is eating our lunch on these kind of vehicles.
I should also note that the Republican candidate Mike Rogers called for an end to Joe Biden's EV mandate.
But there is no EV mandate.
What?
In Florida's U.S. Senate race, incumbent Republican Senator Rick Scott refuses to even acknowledge climate change, even in the wake of multiple destructive hurricanes. And as governor, he once banned the words climate change from state agencies. Whereas former Democratic House Representative Debbie Mercosell Powell supports climate action and funding resilient infrastructure.
Does Rick Scott not remember the two hurricanes that hit his state just about 2 weeks ago?
Apparently not. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is pushing forward with innovation and racing to deploy climate and infrastructure funding. The Interior Department this week approved a massive advanced geothermal energy project in Utah, a significant milestone for a zero-carbon technology that provides clean 24/7 baseload energy on par with nuclear power plants.
Cool.
Minus the uranium mining and radioactive nuclear waste.
Even cooler.
The Department of Energy approved a $52 million grant to convert a closed coal plant in a rural community in Utah into a factory that will use mine waste to make next-generation low-carbon concrete to decarbonize cement, one of the most carbon-intensive materials in the world.
Wow.
And finally, the Department of Energy also funded the first-ever tribal microgrid project with long-duration battery storage in Southern California, which will also support the largest single EV charging hub in North America.
This is all pretty cool, and could all come to a crashing halt depending on how people vote on November 5. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Don't give up on us, baby. Don't make that wrong seem right. The future isn't just one night. It's written in the...